Pittance Podcast is brought to you this week and every week by the Brainstorm Brewery. Hello and welcome to the Pit Imps Podcast, episode number 86 or some shit like that.
Holy shit.
I am your host, Angelo, and I got good news, folks. I have found the third seat for the cast, finally, and that third seat is Brother Ryan.
What up?
And the reason Brother Ryan's the third seat is because this guy's back.
Motherfuckers, I have returned! Back from the woods and shit!
What's up, Will?
Nothing, man. Coming back to the world of the living, hopefully to play some nerd games and talk to you guys about it on the internets.
Woohoo, interwebs. So I know we've got a lot of new listeners since Will's disappearance. Will, you want to explain who you are?
I am your friend and a magic compatriot.
Okay.
I am a Western Pennsylvania deck builder and competitive player, have had some level of success in 100-person so tournaments, but am looking to go to the next level. I like to play nice, safe, consistent Magic, yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Yeah, that could have been summed up so much quicker. Will is the original co-host of the show.
You just said me in a nutshell, and I thought of Austin Powers. Like, you can't do that on the air. No one can see. No, this is me in a nutshell. Let me out. old reference.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I'm not a huge Austin Powers fan.
No, I was either past the first one, but.
Speaking of old references, I watched WKRP in Cincinnati recently.
I don't know what that is. Is that the Weird Al movie about the radio? No, that was
no, it was a TV show during like the late 70s. Yeah. Yeah, it was about a radio station, and it's racist as all hell because, you know, all shows back then was.
Yeah, I believe that.
And I was like, wow. Yeah.
Archie Bunker would not be on television today.
No. No, and this is like same era. So, yeah, you're not going to see. Yeah. But this is a Magic podcast about magic and stuff. So, over in Grand Prix Salt Lake this week, Brandon Nelson.
Did you say Brad Nelson?
No, I said Brandon Nelson.
Oh.
He went up against Jamie Park and went 2-1, while Eric Froelich beat Nathan Holliday in his awesome throw, 2-0. Paul Rietzel loses to Sammy Batarsa.
Batarsa? Batarsa?
Batarsa?
Batarsa is pretty good. I like that.
Okay, we'll go Batarsa. Batarsa,
yeah, that sounds good.
2-0. The greatest name ever, Shady.
Shady!
Shade Badron.
Loses to Chris Woodle 2-1. Woodle loses to Battersaw 2-1. Nelson beats Efro 2-1. And Brandon Nelson wins the GP, where they were slinging limited cards from N15. Spectre Ward put in work.
Yeah, I do want to say Efro going deep in his, I guess his home-ish tournament, you know, coming up from Las Vegas. That's pretty solid. Definitely worth the trip.
Yeah. You know what? He's had a soft summer, to be honest with you.
He hasn't, you know, I actually just watched this vintage series that Randy Buehler's putting on that Efro's in, and he says he hasn't been playing a lot of tournaments.
Okay, that would explain a lot, because he just kind of disappeared for a while there. I was like, damn, he's not winning.
Yeah.
But yeah, Brandon Nelson's top list. He went with the red-white that, you know, most of us know is pretty damn good at this point, so.
Yeah, he has some good cards, definitely. He has the Paragon, the white one, Resolute Angel, you know, triplicate spirits to go with his little pump dude.
Oh, yeah, Generator Servant's really good.
Yeah, Stoke the Flames as a sweet removal spell as well, Inferno Fist. So, you know, I mean, he has a Spectre Ward as well.
Yeah.
Which, that probably is pretty good, actually.
That card's really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that thing has a way of ending games.
Yeah.
If you land in this format, it's pretty much a done deal.
Yeah, no doubt.
Batter say he chose the green-red deck with his draft, and I mean, he got a Hoarding Dragon, he got a Genesis Hydra, he got a Heat Ray.
Really good card.
It really is.
This looks like an Angelo deck.
This is an Angelo deck.
Three Inferno Fist.
Yeah, that's
consistent. That's sweet. He has the
Meteorite to work with there.
Yeah,
I don't care for the Sacred Armory. I probably would have found something else to stick in there. Let's see, what's in the sideboard that I would have put in instead? Miner's Bane? Miner's Bane.
Okay.
He's got a bunch of little dudes, though. They're all little. I mean, he's got a 4/4 and Hoarding Dragon, but.
Oh, I actually, Verdant Haven, I'd probably put in. Hmm.
I don't know. That plus one plus O was probably relevant at one point or another. I mean, yeah, it's not a, I don't like that card either, but.
Yeah. See, Chris Woodall, he went with the, black green thing. You know, a cursed spirit, grave diggers, necromancer's assistant.
Yeah, kind of self-mill a little bit.
Yeah. Curd chieftain, which is, I don't know, one of the top five cards in the format.
Yeah, that card is really good.
Like, I don't think I'm going out on a limb by saying that.
Yeah, that card is very, very good.
He's also
it's on
got
the splash force, so that's his red splash. Does he have any other red cards?
No. Let's see. Well, no, but Typhoid Rats is also a good one. Love the one mana Death Touchers. I'm glad we're getting another one in cons apparently, which is nice. So
I really do love me some Siege Worm in this format too. I feel like a deck with multiple Dick Worms in it is usually a pretty spicy one.
Yeah.
I mean, this one only has the one, but I feel like it's a good card.
Yep. Ifro has a really nice blue-white deck. Triplicate Spirits, a lot of tempo. Illusionary Angel. He's got the Dauntless River Marshal. That card's so good. He also has a Spectral Ward.
Yeah.
So he lost to another Spectral Ward deck. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I believe that. He has the Mass Calcify as well for the late game.
Yeah.
Three Sanctify Charge. That's a lot.
That is a lot of Sanctify
Charge. I like the, he's got the Raise the Alarm into Triplicate Spirits on turn three. That's pretty good. Grind Clock in the sideboard. People know I love
that's
that.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a sweet sideboard card.
I've won several games with that and, Kirkesh, the red card that you double, effects or whatever. So.
That's funny though. Yeah, that guy goes really late in pools. Like you'll get him like, pack or pick six or seven in a pack three sometimes.
Yeah.
Turn Frog though in the board too. I wish that was main board here, but.
I don't know. I would run it over Void Snare, I guess.
I'd run it over the Sanctified Charge.
Or a Bite even.
I don't know, he's a lot of little
pretty
cards.
Sweet. Yeah, I think like a five mana pump all your guys thing that's only very good whenever you are ahead on board kind of already.
Sanctified Charge is balls in this board. It's really good.
It's a good card, no, don't get me wrong, but like do you want three of them at five mana?
Three's a lot, I'll give you that. I don't know, I probably would run three myself. Really? I know he did take one of them out in his matchup against, Brandon Nelson and he brought in the Statute of Denial. Which he was able to counter a Spectre Ward in the second game with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you brought that card in to do.
Yeah, you know, I know what this is going to do. So, you know, that was good sideboarding. Paul Rietzel, he's got him some blue-black going on. Blue-black put him in the air, pretty much. I mean,
just didn't come together for him. Sold a new Phyrexia in the deck.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's bad.
He's missing the Carrion Crow, isn't he?
He definitely does not have it.
He does not have one, so I guess you're right.
Yeah, you kind of really want that card.
He's got Murk Lurker. I mean, that's a great card in blue-black. He has a Frostlink, a Coral Barrier, which is... Yeah, if you're in blue, you want one of those. Aeronaut Tinker, how many... with one artifact, I don't know. I guess it's 2-3 for 3. It's not terrible.
2-3.
Yeah. Nimbus of the Isles, 2 Welkin Turn, and the Cursed Spirit. I mean, he has a lot of evasion going on there. Shadowcloak Vampire... Yeah, I don't think this is a terrible deck at all. But, you know.
Well, it was not good enough to get, out of the quarterfinals there.
Yeah. Jamie Park.
Yeah.
He went red white, you know, very, just meh. God damn, there's a lot of Sanctified Charges in this format.
Yeah, dude, Sanctified Charge is nuts.
I mean, it's a great card, definitely. One of is the sweetness. Two of is really good as well.
If you could get Raise the Alarm and the Triplicate Spirits, it's...
This guy does not have the Raise the Alarm.
Yeah, he doesn't, but he's still, he's got a ton of little guys, so, yeah.
Let's see, Nathan Holliday.
Yeah, Carrot Top here. Is he running?
He's got the white-green going on with Yissen, Wanderer Bard.
Yissen's a card I really like, actually.
I've run quite a bit of them.
Yeah, I'm staring at four of them right now. I just picked them up real cheap on eBay. I got a bunch of shit in the mail today, so I'm kind of excited.
Raise the Alarm in a Sanctified Charge. I mean, just so much of it.
Court of Calling, though.
Yeah. Mm.
This guy needs more Netcaster Spiders. I feel like if you want to play green, man, you need a ton of them.
Yes. I like having, like, three.
Yeah, three is a great number of that.
The Flyers that's not been a deck that's been a real problem, though, so having creatures in reach.
It's still a 2-3 on the ground for three mana, so when its upside is negated, it's still a solid dude.
That thing can almost single-handedly shut down the fast red decks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's good against the fast ones, and it's great against anything with evasion.
Yep, and as I've tried to explain to you before, three is actually kind of like the magic number.
Yeah, three's a great number for toughness and limited. You know, it's kind of how you survive turns.
Yep. Okay. So the last deck, Mr. Shady Bad Ran. He ran bad.
That is a sweet name. Yeah, he did get the Bad Ran. So that's sure. I mean,
he did get a Colonial Twin Grove. I mean, he was trying to go the mostly green with black plan. He had probably the best one drop in M15, Cruel Sadist.
That card is very good. I got to play with that on Friday, and it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good one drop. You're not displeased with pulling that.
It kills a three drop for like two or three life investment. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. There ain't too many other one drops I wanted to actually play with. And I mean, like, you want this or Fugitive Wizard? You answer that wrong, and I'm smacking you. You know?
What if I have the Blue Paragon? You know?
You know what? Let me ask you this. How many other blue creatures do you have? Because, you know, like mono blue, I can see it because you have the Paragon, but I still don't want
it. Yeah, I still would rather have just the better guy.
I wish you didn't have to tap the Sadist to put a 1/1 counter on it. That's kind of a doubt.
No, it's good. You can still use it while in blocking. He just can't attack and get counters simultaneously, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, early game you attack when you can, and when you can no longer attack, you do it. You pump it at the end of your turn.
He's a scary blocker too. He blocks super far above the curve. Like, he blocks as a 2/3 on turn two. So, like, he alone is good enough to dissuade aggro. You just, you know, wait until combat phase.
Yes, she is.
So, top five cards?
Top five cards. Do we do the top five?
If Spectre War does not end them, I would be displeased.
It is.
I would hope it is. Yeah, let's do the top five cards.
Fester Gloom is five.
That makes sense with all the goddamn triplicate spirits we saw.
Fester Gloom is the tits. That card is really good.
You know what? In 99% of all the draft formats you're going to play in, this card is not good. But there's so many X1s in this format that this card is nuts.
Especially in red and all the tokens.
Which is funny because the M formats in previous years have not been about one butts. They've been about the big butts, really.
Yeah, we broke it down a few weeks ago. I had Celso on, Will, and we figured it out. It's like 31% of all commons creatures
have
one toughness, and that's not including Raise the Abarber triplicate spirits.
Wow.
It's just the ones that
says gigantic number.
Yeah, it's just the one that
says. So Feister Gloom is main board.
As a one of, I wouldn't see why not. I'd rather mainboard one and sideboard it out than not have it in there and lose the game because of it.
It's definitely making your deck somewhere. Awesome. Spectre Ward at four, no big surprise, so.
Yeah, that card's good. Oh, Cone of Flame, like the best removal spell in
that
the format.
That card is so good.
Yeah.
Soul of Theros, can we just name any, like, they just like, what's the best five cards in the format?
A mythic, that surprises me. I picked up all the souls this week too, whether they see play or not, they're just really cheap right now, so I recommend getting them. You might as well.
Okay. And then triplicate spirits at one. Again, they was just like, what are the five best spells of the format? That's all they did.
I just want to comment on how cleanly Eric Froelich looks in his top eight picture. As a dude who is usually pretty slovenly, this guy, he's got some pretty good light to him.
Well, he hasn't been playing Magic.
I don't know, man. I was impressed.
Yeah, you get away from the people and you can go
back.
Yeah,
all of a sudden you have the bathing habits.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, hey, I remember.
There's this hygiene thing. Did you hear about it?
Okay.
A hygiene loop this summer.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see you losing the hygiene loop. Oh boy. So not too far from the riots in St. Louis, they SCG set up. And Thomas Graves, Joseph Eckert, Graves wins 2-0. This is the standard portion for those following along at home. Benjamin Reed, Dwayne Glusner. Reed wins 2-0. Caleb Wilson, 2-1 over Brent Jackson. Jenkins. That's not Leroy, that is Brent. Or Brett. Peter Tragos, 2-1 over Huckabee. Caleb Williams wins 2-1 over Tragos, Graves 2-1 over Reed, and Thomas Graves wins the whole damn thing. Congratulations, sir.
On a side note, Thomas Graves didn't lose a match all until round 5 or 6 of the Legacy portion on Sunday.
Sweet!
That's pretty baller. He definitely brought the beats with him on Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I can't believe this deck is still winning. But it looks like it's been fine-tuned, finally, like, the Hall of Triumph seems to be standard and the Titan Strength. It's just they cut out down to 3 Ruble Belt Makas. This seems to be pretty ironed out. The sideboard Nothing seems real different here. It's been the same.
I just want to point out, if you go down to 10th place, they call junk Abzan Aggro. I hate you.
They're ahead of the curve. They're ahead of the curve.
I hate you, SCG.
Yeah.
Are you serious? They went there. They did.
They've already taken it to now the modern deck is, whatever Sultari rock, whatever the fuck bug is, you know? It's cool, man. Whatever. Just deal with it.
Shardless Sultari or Sultai.
That's awesome.
Red, white, burn in second.
Yeah, it's also just a ton of aggro in the format.
Yeah, it's stale. I'm not going to lie. It's very stale. Although, you know, it's funny. I hear people saying, oh, it's all mono black everywhere. We have one in the top eight.
Look, Jund, we still have
black, white, mid-range, which is...
Yeah, I mean, and Jund Monsters won last week. I mean, Jund Monsters, it wasn't here this week, but the Jund Planeswalkers, you know, three of them in the top eight.
Yeah, there's a Jund Monsters in the top... Or, I guess not the top 16. I thought that was... This event, my bad.
Out of Jund Planeswalkers, so another deck that...
Jund Rabble.
Yeah, this one hasn't really been all that figured out, but a lot of it's gonna be around after rotation.
Jeff Hoogland playing it.
Oh, yeah. I don't know,
Scavenger Goose rotates out though, yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, it does. It just does.
Yeah, but you still keep like a ton of the Planeswalkers.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Planeswalker strategies are going to be very strong after rotation. There's so many good Planeswalkers.
The deck I'm looking to play right out of the gate is Naya Walkers. I mean, that keeps almost everything aside from Izzium Mortars.
Yeah, I think basically any three-colored control deck can play like a Walker Shell, and that's kind of what it's going to be. A lot of mid-Walker or like mid-range Planeswalkers. Walker versus monsters decks.
And Jund loses Domri, which no one's been playing lately anyways, aside from in the monsters.
Yeah, that's deck. Okay. Xenagos is pretty sweet.
Yeah, so we're keeping Xenagos. Vraska is another one that's not really, it's,
yeah, but
people play, mean, don't.
Garruk is a thing though, and with the amount of planeswalkers, specifically Elspeth in the format, Garruk is just, I mean, he's a dude.
Oh yeah, and with the new shaman, that morph card, people were talking about the...
Plus, I mean, have you seen the new red? Well, I guess, never mind. Forget about
we'll talk about that stuff later.
The things you can accelerate into. I mean, Nissa sticks around.
Yeah, we'll talk about all this later, dude.
Yeah, this, I think it's going to be pretty good going forward. So I'm not surprised to see three of them in the top eight. And a green-white aggro and a black-white mid-range round out top eight. So
yeah, it's...
Yeah, yeah, two black decks, three Jund.
Well, the black-white mid-range is not really the black deck. I mean,
it is. I mean, it's still a very... half of the shell is the same. Whether or not it kills you with Grey Merchant is a different thing.
Yeah, it actually is. It's a good... It beats the mono-black deck.
Right, so. But that's why you play it. It's just the adaptation.
Yeah, but green white aggro, I love seeing that topic, and it's been doing great.
Why is that not Silesnia aggro?
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
I'm Silesnia, but
it's good for the goose.
I see what you did there. Wow, that was a good one, Angelo. Good for the goose. Nice. See, the for those who don't know, it's good for the gander. It's a great little piece of, I don't know, folklore speak.
But yeah.
Thank you, Will.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would have known that.
I just, you know, I had to, these young kids these days, they don't know shit like that.
never mind. On topic, Ange, on topic. Al Carabel, 2-1 over Joe Bernal. This is the legacy portion, children.
The legacy portion.
Steve Medanic, 2-0 over Noah Cohen. Andrew Longname, 2-0 over Dylan
Canalakin? Canalakin?
Sure. Jamie Sheffer, 2-0 over Elijah Bishop. Sheffer wins 2-0 over Andrew Longname. Steve Medanic, 2-1 over Mr. Carabel, and Medanic wins 2-0. What was he playing?
Elves. Broken green combo, dudes.
Sweet.
Yeah, he has a Rurik in his main deck also.
It's not a Delver deck.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's a sweet little deck. I mean, it's
Rurik in his main board. That is actually quite interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, those turns where you can, natural order for it. It's really sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had the Elsmere match on. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, Elsmere is not super fun. It's not a deck that you really want to...
Yeah, it was just hilarious. It was who got
there
first. There
was a pro tour of that once that, LSV did not win. Who won that one? Some guy playing Elves.
Some guy playing Elves.
No, that was the one LSV won. He was playing Elves.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Death and Taxes in second.
Yes.
Yeah.
We got a Death and Taxes in fourth also.
And it's probably exact same list.
Well, Sneak and Show in fifth. We had Esper Stoneblade in third and seventh. We had a Bug Delver and a Blue White Miracles rounding out the top
eight. Deathblade in seventh. It's a different deck. They play with black.
Oh, my fault.
Yeah, I will.
Jesus, man. Hey, I'm Rusty, and I am drinking Sweet Baby Jesus chocolate peanut butter porter. So,
I am drinking
the Deathblade runs Deathrite Shaman.
Yeah. I mean, so, I do know that. Yeah. I just didn't read it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's unfortunately Legacy has kind of stagnated as well with me.
Yeah, no doubt. I like I said though, I was watching some Sweet Vintage League, which is really fun.
That's cool.
If you're into that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And then there was the Modern, and let's just go over the deck list. Who won? Phil Silberman.
Yeah, on a Geist list. Blue, white, red. Karanos in the main deck, making his love in the Modern format as well.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet list. It's actually like, very similar to the, just the standard decks of a couple years ago.
Thundermaw!
Yeah, we saw this deck similar to this the other week in Japan, right, Angelo?
I don't believe it was in Japan. I believe it was local because, a lot of the Canadians were playing it.
Yeah, you just play the sweet removal spells and then kind of like the dudes from,
all the best dudes.
Allison Block and this one, you know.
No, and GP Kobe, the episode we had Jason Alt on, there was, because I took shit for not knowing what, like, aggro, tempo, control, or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Never played. That's
aggro control. That. It's like, what the hell is that?
And aggro control is a sweet form of play. That's my favorite.
Yeah, and I just haven't got to see that in my time of Magic, really, so.
Yeah, it's a very old school deck. I mean, I guess like Merfolk is kind of that kiln, but, you know, a lot of the death and taxes stuff, that's what it's based around.
Yeah. Like I brought up, Fairies is probably the best ever aggro control deck.
Well, that was like a tempo control. That was a little bit different.
It was pretty damn aggro, man.
Well, there are articles. If you talk to like Sam Black and guys like that, it's not important.
Speaking of death and taxes.
Mono white and second. Yeah, I was trying to get that turned in there. This is a sweet mono white deck.
This is so similar to my deck. So, mono white aggro. I'm so fucking happy this showed up. 2 Aven Mind Censor, 4 Blade Splicer, 3 Dryad Militant, 4 Flicker Wisp, 4 Judges Familiar, 4 Leon and Arbiter, 4 Resto Angels, and a Chroma, Angel of Fury, 3 Thalia Garden, Guardian of Thraben, 4 Vile, 4 Pass. He's running 4 Ghost Quarter and 4 Tech Edges. That's pretty standard. Sideboard is 2 Spell Skites, 2 BFTs. That's the Forge Tender, which Angelo,
it's the best fucking tech.
Yeah, I was running, the other week I was telling Angelo that I cut them and was running Core Firewalker and it was a big mistake.
You should definitely run BFT. It saves your whole team.
I told him.
Yeah.
Cause
he learned his lesson.
Yeah, I learned my lesson. I watched Angelo Balls. 2 Mirren Crusader. This is a card I actually run 3 of in the main board of my deck. It's if you're in a pod heavy meta, you can't do anything about it. So.
Can I ask a question? How the hell do you get a Chroma into play?
You morph it and then you Resto Angel it.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Bringing back some love to the Astral Slide decks that used to do that with small angels. And occasionally a big
funny
white one.
Yeah, a Chroma Angel of Fury is pretty funny. So,
She's protection from basically every removal spell in the format. Pretty good.
From everything.
Yeah. Can't path her, and then like the only thing that you could hit her with in black is like a straight Doomblade, you know, which is rare. Most people run Dismember or like Abrupt Decay.
Double Lightning Bolt to kill it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a good one.
Yep, 2 Rest in Peace, that's pretty standard. 2 Stony Silence, cause that's pretty standard. 2 December, that's kinda spicy.
It's a removal spell. He just needs more. I'd rather see 1 Dismember and the 3 Kataki's War Wage. I think Kataki is really good right now. There's so much affinity hate, or affinity out there, you know, just like, fucking jam them.
Yeah, Kataki is pretty sweet. Yeah. I also, I really like the 2 Spell Skites in the board here. I would love to see Aethersworn Canonist somewhere, but.
There's not really a reason to. I mean, like, there's not a deck out there that uses Storm right now, so you're not really worried about it. Even the combo decks out there are, like, based around, you know, one card per turn ideas, like, Infinite Clones thing, whatever, Kiki Jiki.
Yeah.
I also like the one of a Django Castle. Am I saying that right?
Iganjo
Castle.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like better than the Plains.
Yeah, it's sweet.
if he was really serious about it, he could play the Runes of Trocare. Not that one. Yeah, the one whenever there's 2 copies of it, you go and get Plains out. So it's like a planes fetch.
Yeah, it doesn't work as well anymore with the new legend rule though.
Cause oh, that's right. The legend rule broke it. That sucks. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Sorry.
It's okay. Thank you for learning me.
Yeah. Hey, it happens. You know, I've been following along.
shout out Ross Haley for that, showing up with that and finishing just ahead of third and fourth with Affinity.
Yeah. Those guys have robots.
Yeah. I'm looking through those lists actually and they're not anything special.
There is no pod. There is no birthing pod in the top eight. So
yeah, scape shift in fifth, elementals in sixth, what? Elementals.
Yeah, yeah. I looked at this list earlier.
Let's go over.
Ooh, I like this.
It's a Kiln Fiend or Niv-Mega's elemental deck is how it works.
Yeah.
And then the idea is you just want to attack with it once and either have it be 10 power and double striked or infected.
What's Kiln Fiend?
Kiln Fiend is a 2-mana, 1/2 red creature. It's an elemental beast. When you cast an instant or sorcery spell, it gets +3/+0 until end of turn. So if you were to, say, play an Assault Strobe and a Tainted Strike on it, on turn 3, you would win the game.
You sure would.
Pretty nice. Yep. Niv-Mega, that seems better than the Niv-Megas.
Well, the Niv-Megas works, pretty well as well. And, like, you have all these free spells between Blessing, Gutshot, Mutagenic Growth, Slaughter Pact. Like, yeah. Slaughter Pact and remove it from the stack to your Niv-Megas Elemental, like, when you don't have any targets in play, so you just get a free zero trigger to +2/+2 your guy, and then you don't die the next turn anyway.
Also, I love the combo, yeah, with Tainted Strike.
This is a cheap fucking deck to run short of the,
The mana base is fine, but like, yeah, you don't have to pay for any cards in it. It's very cool.
Yeah, just pump and give it infect. Game over.
That's basically what it is. Like, it's very similar to Sam Black's first, modern deck that he made. It was like, a free red spell infect deck, like win on turn 2 with infect, and that's kind of what this is trying to do.
I was actually just asking the posse on the page that just posted a question about infect in modern.
I mean, this isn't really infect. This is...
No, it's not, but it's a strategy I'm looking into, but this deck looks like a lot of fun, and Assault Strobe, I like that card a lot.
You really have to master this, and your mulligans are going to be very brutal to you, but like... Wow, Ground Rift, Swarm, triggers for your Killed Fiend or your Niv-Megas? Like, I put 4 Storm copies on the stack and eat them all. This is a cool deck. James Bivona, like, really thought this one through. Thank you very much for,
I love the sideboard also.
This is definitely something you could take down 2-man queues in Modern 4 or, like, hope to spike an event once in a while and, you know, like, build decks up.
Artful I might
build
dodge this one. In the sideboard. Artful Dodge is in this. I didn't run that in Limited.
That card, it's seen some play here and there. It's showed up in some effect decks.
I mean, sometimes you just need to get through. It doesn't matter about the amount of damage, you just need to get through.
Yeah, it's a weird sideboard with 2 Pithing Needle, 2 Blood Moon, 2 Ancient Grudge, 3 Lightning Bolt, because that's where those belong. 2 Rakdos Charm, a Tainted Strike, and 3 Artful Dodge. Really weird sideboard.
It's a really weird deck. It would have to be a weird sideboard to work. So, like, the Blood Moon is just to shut off dudes, like, to just shut off guys with bullshit decks. Pithing Needle, why would you want that?
Spellskite.
Yeah, Spellskite's good.
Yeah.
That's a great one to name.
Yeah, that's.
The Liana is all over the place.
That's a good one, too.
I mean, there's...
Lightning Bolt, just the removal spell. So he has, like, no removal spells in the main. It's all just food. Well, I mean, the Gutshot's probably just there to trigger a Kiln Fiend or, you know, get a Niv-Megas get bigger. But, yeah, sure, you know, sometimes it kills guys.
Slaughter Pack, I mean, for those. Sometimes are going to kill guys.
Right. It's, like, a really artful little deck because everything in the deck is food for the creatures. But then a lot of this stuff also just has benefits as well. Like Mutagenic Growth on a Kiln Fiend is just +5, you know, for 0 mana.
Right. I love the Harbinger.
Yeah, Flamekind Harbinger is a card I really love, and both of the cards are actually elemental. So you just, like, if you don't spike the Niv-Megas on one, you just play an
Harbinger, and you get your Kiln Fiend on two.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Sweet.
Like, much kudos.
Yeah, it looks like a ton of fun.
Yeah, I like seeing something different. I'm
ton of fun.
Quite happy with that.
It's something that I could consider putting together on Modo.
Yeah. And it beat out Rug Twins, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, well,
we know how I feel about Twins.
Wait. How did it beat out Rug Twin?
Because
it lost in the same round.
Got he just six. The other one got seventh. It's ahead of it on the list.
Yep.
Okay, logic, sure. Escape Shift in eighth. And then, come on guys, we gotta quit calling it Rug and we gotta quit calling it Blue, White, Red. I mean, we gotta start using these, crazy names.
Zemur!
I mean, junk rolled right off the tongue if you people don't want to use it.
No, Teemer.
Teemer's pretty fucking bad.
It's Teemer or Teemer?
It's Teemer, like lemur.
Yeah, that's actually in the
It is. Thing. Yeah, that's what Mero said. It's like lemur. Teemer is pretty fucking awful.
Yeah, so you say, man.
Yeah. So now we're done with tournaments. Little bit of straight news. The promos. If you buy intro packs, the five intros that you're going to get is ankle shape.
I've been buying intro packs. I actually did that while hiking with my girlfriend. We would each get one, and we played over the summer. It was pretty fun.
Sweet,
yeah.
Yeah, like they've definitely come a long way since when I first started playing.
Yeah, you get a decent card. I mean,
the decks actually do stuff, and they play pretty competitively against each other. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, cool. So ankle shanker for red, white, black. Avalanche Tusker for green, blue, red. Ivory Tusk Fortress for Abzan or Junk.
That card seems pretty good.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it doesn't seem bad. Rakshasa Vizier. I know I'm gonna butcher that forever. Rakshasa!
Yeah. Vizier.
It's like Mufasa, you just gotta have fun with it. Pretend you're Cheech Marin when you say it.
Rakshasa. Okay. There's a few creatures that their name is, that starts with, that must be like a tribe or something, the Rakshasas.
It's like a place.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I love the background though in this. I said it in the other episode.
It's Rakshasa. That's the place.
Well, it's like a shout out to Angkor Wat, the Cambodian temple.
Yeah, it definitely does look like Angkor Wat. That's a good call. I just had that stolen from me by the Spanish in a game of Civilization.
You poor bastard.
Oh man, 40 turns into construction.
Speaking of Civilization, Angelo, I started playing Civ 4 this week.
Awesome. Dude, yeah. I play Civ 4. We should battle.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I think that server's down for the online.
Oh. Can we have a LAN party?
So, but that's your bug promo, and then Sage of the Inward Eye is going to be your blue, red, white promo.
I think that card's pretty good.
We want to say what these do. This is part of the cycle. Like, this is the 5-mana cycle.
Sure.
A lot of people are bitching about these.
Well, I mean, they're the ones that are going into intro packs, so they're not going to be the greatest cards.
But
I don't know. A lot of people just don't like them.
Cards. No, these are fine cards, all of them.
I like Ankle Shanker. I said that last week. 2-2 haste. When Ankle Shanker attacks creatures you control, gain first strike and death touch until end of turn.
So all of your creatures just, like, can't be blocked.
Yeah, just can't.
Like, they're abysses or...
First strike. There's no good blocks.
Yeah.
Then there's Avalanche Tusker, which... Stupid phone. Let me throw it. Okay.
This card is not actually that sweet. This is the Teemer one.
I guess.
But he's a 6-4 for 5, which is awesome, but... Whenever he attacks, target creature defending player controls must block at this combat of Able, which is theoretically removal.
Theoretically. You
know? But like, I don't know. It's a large body, that's for sure.
Yeah. So the Ivory Tusk Fortress is when you untap a creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it during each other player's untap step. So
it's also just a 5/7 for 5, which is huge.
This seems like an EDH card more than
it does seem like an EDH card, but it also seems kind of like an EDH format.
Yeah, it works good with the outlast ability of their tribe, so.
Right. The Vizier, we went over that one last week.
Yeah, I like that one. I think that's I think this might see standard play. I think it's really good. I don't know.
Depends on what's out there, but absolutely. Yeah.
It's whenever one or more cards are put in exile from your graveyard, you can put a +1/+1. You put that many +1/+1 counters on.
Vizier. He gets bigger, is what it is. Yeah. He's like the Delve Win Con, but I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of mana to tie up in your main phase for a 4/4. And I don't think there's going to be a free Delve card. So he's like a turn 6 dude, you know, but you have to have another card in hand to protect.
Yeah, Sage of the Inward Eye is whenever you cast it on creature spell, creatures you control gain lifelink until end of turn. 3/4 flying.
I think this little battalion deck in this color is going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah, Jeskai doesn't seem to be the control deck.
No, it's definitely not the control deck. And as a matter of fact, I don't really think any of the blue decks are the control decks. The control deck is the junk one. What's it called?
Abzan. No. Teemer though is what.
Teemer's like a mid range deck. It's like a creature based strategy about having big dudes and superiority.
But they have all the counters. Teemer also has the counters. And I was someone
from,
at watch
from
watch,
what's been from what's been so, spoiled so far. You know, we still need to see the whole set. We have like.
Oh yeah, but Watsy also said that Teemer would be the control. It wouldn't necessarily be Jeskai, so.
Sure.
I don't like the art. The Jeskai art trips me out. Like, these guys look really cartoonish.
Which one's Jeskai? Oh, the like ninja dudes?
Yeah.
No, they're fine. It's cool.
Yeah. For launch promo, we're going to get a Dragon Throne of Tarkir. So if you go to F&M that launch day, you get one of those.
Okay.
I don't think that card does anything.
Neither do I, but equip creature has defender and two other creatures you control gain trample and get plus X until end of turn.
You have to tap it too. Two and tap.
Yeah. Where right. X is the creature's power. That's bad.
It's a seven mana investment just to get on the board and equip. That's,
it's bad. It's a sweet EDH card when you just like thrown up your general and you just sit back and laugh. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's going to have some value on the EDH market.
Right. Game day, Heir of the Wilds. Is going to be your is that the top 8 one?
No, this is all, just for showing up.
Just for showing up. That's the 2/2 death touch.
Yeah, top
8.
Sweet.
And then the top 8 you get Utter End, exile target permanent.
Do you think that Heir of the Wilds is a good card?
I think he's a fine drop card.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll play a 2/2 death toucher for 2 all
it
day
is,
long.
Oh, it has death touch. I mean, okay. 2/2.
Yeah, it's not standard. I don't think it's standard good, but
yeah, there's also going to be a playmat, of course, with, like...
Well, can we talk about Utter End? Because the top 8 card, because Utter End, I think, will definitely...
We've talked about it a bazillion times already.
It's an instant.
Exile target, non-land permanent. Instant for 4. There you go.
It's dope. He's like clocking an elephant on the back of the head or something.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like it's very computer animated. I really like the playmat though. It's
yeah, so do I.
Very awesome.
It kind of has the look of like.
Wait, that looks computer animated. The Jeskai ninjas don't look computer animated.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it does. Sure. Yeah.
That is a sick playmat though too. What is that? The teamer.
I suppose.
It's a guy, I guess. Or no, is this the one, general who's not spoiled yet?
Probably.
Yeah, is that the teamer one?
Yeah. So, buy a box, you get a Runeclaw Mystic.
Sweet.
I don't know about that guy. Is he any good?
I don't know. Sweet. I've had people tell me how good he is, and I don't know that I agree.
It depends on how many morph guys you have, but like, he's not as good as Ikaria did as a mana dude.
But on turn 2, you go turn 1, elf, turn 2, morph this guy, turn 3, you got 6 mana.
I have 6?
You still have to pay 2 to flip him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gain 1 mana from it. It's...
Yeah, it's a plus 1 mana. I mean, it's probably a fine draft card.
It's also, I think it's just it's good fixing for us. I mean, for teamer, it seems like...
Yeah, I'm not sold
on it. Just to play it on 2.
To play it on 2, I'm gonna just play a Sylvan Caryatid.
Yeah,
exactly. It depends on how many good morph guys are in it. If you have a lot of good morph guys with 4 power and you can have some kind of trickiness with this, but like, I don't see it as being a ramp card the way Caryatid is in the format.
Oh no, it's definitely not as good as Caryatid.
Yeah. And like, I would...
That's its slot then.
And rather than morph this guy on turn 2 with my elf, I'd rather just play a Corsair of Crucifix. Right.
If you can, yeah. If you have 3 mana, why not do that?
Exactly. I don't know. I don't think he has a home. I mean, I think he'll be fine in block, right? If anyone's going to play block constructed.
Yeah, block constructed.
Yep.
Good talk. That's been Angelo's thing.
I like block constructed.
I haven't been playing much at all. Like, I don't know.
Dude, I'm gonna play
Future something. Standard looks boring as hell to me.
We'll see, man. You're not even looking at any of the cards yet.
I did some testing for a while with, you know, without having what's here and with what's been, spoiled thus far. I'm not really excited.
Yeah.
I might be the only one and that's fine. It is what it is. So,
I am excited. I like the 3-color stuff, you know. I like the high number of playables and deciding cards. We'll see. I'm also just really high on Magic, and I've taken a lot of time off, so I'm ready to play.
Never played in a wedge set like this, so...
Well, there's never been a wedge set like this. There's been the tri-set, the Sharks.
Well, 3-color, like, Zimmer got to play in this kind of environment, so it seems like a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is a good one. I'm excited for it. I think that they're doing a good job of the cards I've seen so far. You know, I think it's going to be fun.
As welcome back, pick a card, any card.
I want to talk about the 10 common lands. Salt Swiftwater Cliffs and its ilk.
The Gain Life Lands.
Yeah, they're downgraded from uncommon when they were printed in, that was Zendikar format.
Yes.
And, they're at common level, so fixing is going to be, I think, actually pretty easy in this format. You know, it's still pick 3 to 5, but The fact that they have it a common at land is very, very good.
Yeah. I'm actually kudos to Wizards on that, because I was like, if they put another rare land cycle in this set, or...
They did. They put a great rare land cycle in this set. Did you know about it?
No. Instead of say another one on top of the fetched lands.
Oh, I'd be fine with it. I mean, dude, I love lands. And like, lands have the highest potential to see play in like every constructed format and most limited decks.
Yeah, I'm just glad these are commons and not another, like, just for the barrier entry.
Yeah, and there's 10 of them, so like, you know, theoretically you're gonna have non-basic lands in every deck. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really pleased to see these, you know, just for the limited ilk of it.
Yeah, hopefully it's gonna downgrade to like a 5th through 8th pick, because you're just so sure you're gonna get them, and like definitely in pack 3 you're gonna be able to get them, I think, easily, you know.
I would hope so. I wouldn't wait too long in pack 3 because that's going to be everybody's plan, you know?
The thing is also, it's like, it depends which one you need the most. And like, if you see the one that you really, really need, then, I mean, grab it whenever you can get it. But, I plan on playing a lot of colors. I don't think I'm going to play a whole lot of 2-color decks, and I don't think I'm going to play a whole lot of 3-color decks.
So you're going to be the one pack 1 pick.
No, I mean, I just think it's going to be very easy to splash a 4th color in this format.
Yeah,
so like, exactly. So, like, and if that's the case, then, like, let's check out what 5 looks like. You know? Let's just see. If it looks good, then...
I know I'm going to open
it. All day, every day, because, like, it's a consistent draft strategy. You know?
I know I'm going to open a rare in every pack. So.
Yeah, exactly. I know someone's going to pass me rares. I know I'm going to get something good, and if I'm playing everything, like, I can play everything.
So the uncommon ones, do you think those are going to be pack 1 pick 1s? I do.
Oh, pack
1. I think so.
Maybe not pack 1.
If you don't have a very
pack 1, it's pick 2 or 3. Like I go like pick my rare and then hit my on color tri-land, absolutely. But like, even when I played a Lara block, you know, I wanted to commit to a color before I started getting the fixing for it. Like, well, if you're going to play all 5 colors, you know, yeah, grab a tri-land, pick one, sure. If that's your call, but like, just because you get the land for it doesn't mean you're going to be able to get the cards for it. But like, definitely pick 2, pick 3. Like, if you see one in a pack, pick 5. Like, take it, even if it's not any of your colors.
You know what's sad? Out of all those promo cards we just talked about, I like the normal ones so much better art-wise.
Yeah, that's usually the case.
I mean, the ankle shanker looks so much better to me. Oh well. Ryan, pick a card.
Clever Impersonator.
That card's good.
Okay.
What's Clever Impersonator?
It's 2 colorless, 2 blue. It's a creature shapeshifter, 00, that has, you may have Clever Impersonator enter the battlefield as a copy of any non-land permanent on the battlefield. So copy that Planeswalker.
So we've seen a lot of really big, powerful 5 and 6 mana cards. This is going to be a great way for blue decks to get mana advantage.
Yeah.
Like, make your big scary dude. That's fine. I clone it and then bounce yours.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
Okay, so I guess it's my turn.
The Sage of the Inward Eye does look a whole lot better as well. Well, yeah, the art is a lot better on the non-promo ones. It's a whole lot better.
Yeah, on every one of them.
Like, Avalanche Tusker actually makes sense. He's a giant elephant riding down a mountain. And then, like, this Rakshasa Vizier, and he's the cat demon, looks bad the fuck ass, man.
I like both arts on that one. And I actually do like...
The other art isn't nearly as cool as this one.
No, not even close.
But that's just
sitting there holding his skull like my precious.
Dude, it's like a warlock, you know?
It's pretty dope.
He's good.
Yeah, this would be better.
I am going to go with Mindswipe.
What is Mindswipe, Andrew?
Counter target spell. Unless his controller pays X, Mindswipe deals X damage to that spell's controller.
I think that's great.
Even if they pay X, they're still taking damage.
It's a blaze.
Yeah, it has a blaze attached to it, and it's like a syncopate with a blaze on top of it.
Yeah.
I mean, for a soft counter, I think that's pretty good.
I don't necessarily put it in my deck to be a soft counter.
I think it's a 2-of. It's kind of a finisher.
2-of finisher. Yeah. Like, I'm perfectly happy to mindswipe something for 1 or 2 in the first couple of turns if I can.
Yeah.
And then
save that one for
the next one's like, mindswipe you for 7, motherfucker. And then like, then you untap, you play your main phase threat, and then you hold up your hard counter behind it. You know, that then it's great. Yeah.
It sure is. Will, you want to pick another one?
Yeah, I do. I want to talk about Sarkhan the Dragon Speaker, the red planeswalker. 5 mana, 4 starting loyalty, +1. He is a 4/4 legendary flying indestructible haste dragon, which is awesome. -3 is 4 damage to target creature, flame slash. And then the minus six, the emblem is awesome. At the beginning of your upkeep, draw two additional cards. At the beginning of your end step, discard your hand. Like, this is, really, really fun. I like it a lot. If I'm going to be anywhere near red, I would love to have access to this card.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
Like, top, a lot of people are saying the aggro deck, you know?
Yeah, it's like a Storm Breath number 5 and 6.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, I want to play it in a rug control planeswalker shell, though, right? So I like Kiora into Sarkhan, you know, and then, like, he's there to just protect and then become a dragon for turns. I don't know. I think it's fine. I think he's a sweet dude.
Yeah.
Like, very useful and on all three modes. His ultimate is easy to get to, all things considered. And, like, drawing two extra cards a turn is going to win you the game in a hurry.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep, sure is. Ryan, go.
Man, I'm going to be boring. Teemer Charm?
Okay. All of the charms are very good.
Are they?
Jeskai's boring. Jeskai seems very, very lazy.
It's very similar to Azorius Charm, but it's also very good.
See, I don't think it is.
It's better than Azorius Charm that the creature doesn't have to be attacking or blocking.
But it doesn't draw the card, and then it does the 4 damage to the face. Like, +1/+1 and lifelink to your dudes is a very relevant thing.
Yeah, that's very much like Azorius Charm. Yeah. The 4 damage is just like Boros Charm. It's like Boros Charm and Azorius Charm. Some people on the page were saying, like, there's no is it at all here.
Yeah.
It does 4 damage to the, yeah, it does probably need to say draw card.
Regardless though, my pick though, Teemer Charm.
Teemer Charm's awesome.
Yeah, so target creature you control gets +1/+1 until end of turn. It fights target creature you don't control.
Doesn't cause it to tap either. Very good, very good.
Which is sweet. Yeah. Counter target spell unless its controller pays 3.
That's real.
Yeah.
Mana leak on there. And then creatures with power 3 or less can't block this turn. That's pretty good too.
So Falter effect.
Yep. Yeah, I think this is kind of a 2-mode spell of the two. Like, you'll use the third one time in 15, but it's good enough.
Yeah.
The most well-rounded is the Sultai Charm. That one's insane.
Sultai Charm, yeah.
Sultai Charm. Instant speed, Oh, no, that's not the one I was thinking of. I actually like the Mardu Charm.
Mardu Charm is also very good.
The instant speed, reveal your hand. I like that. I'm going to take a card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, instant speed duress. Pretty good.
It's better than a duress. It's a non-land card. It's
a thought
coercion.
No, it's duress. Non-creature, non-land.
It is non-creature, non-land, man. My bad.
It's just an instant speed duress.
I can't read.
Yeah. You go thought seize into, like, that maggot. Into this, that seems like a pretty good first 3 plays of Magic.
Sure, sure.
Just, yeah. Okay, so it's my turn, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn it. So I'm going to go Wingmate Rock, the new Broodmate Dragon.
That guy's awesome. Yeah, it really is, too, and it's a whole mana cheaper.
Yeah, you get 2/3/4s for 5 that have flying. I'm quite happy with that.
You also get a nice little tacked on ability. You gain life each time,
your creatures attack, yeah. I like that. I think it's just.
Yeah,
that's a solid 5 drop right there.
Absolutely. Gonna dominate anytime you open it in a pack and, has some.
I wish it were a rare. I don't know why it's a mythic, but.
Because
you've never played against Broodmate Dragon.
Yeah, Broodmate Dragon should have been a mythic also. This card just wins the game when you play it.
No, it reminds me a lot of, it seems a bit better than Archangel Atune.
I don't know, it's doing different things than the Archangel.
I like it a lot. I think it's a sweet card. I'm just, kind of upset it's gonna be like 15-20 bucks to get a hold of one.
For 5 mana, I'm getting a 6/8.
It's not gonna be that much. It's not gonna see that much limit, or as constructed play.
I don't know, the Archangel held at that price.
That card had a much better upside.
Yeah, and the Angel the Angel that gave everyone Exalted, that held a really high price even though no one played it.
You know, I don't know. I'm not a guy who buys a whole lot of singles for
these standard. 5 mana white mythics. Just as of late, have held like a pretty steady high price. And, but yeah, it's a fucking sick card. Yeah. Sweet.
Oh, pick another one.
Is this my last one?
Yes, this is.
Can I get twosies?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Honorable shout out to the Rakshasa Death Dealer. That guy's my homie.
Is that the 2-mana cat?
Yeah. It's awesome.
Go over that card. That is sick.
2-mana, 2/2, green, black. Pay 2 mana, +2/+2. So he's just a shade if you have the right mana. And then 2 mana, regenerate him, green, black for both the abilities. Awesome. I was talking about Manus Rider. I love me some Lightning Angel. Taking a mana off of it. So Manus Rider, 3/3 for Jeskai mana, 3 mana. Flying Vigilance Haste. Wham! Get ya! There, I'm there to block, you know, like, super, super good. I think that's gonna be very online with what the Jeskai decks wanna do, is just, like, put very good dudes into play in the first several turns of the game, and then use their combined strength to use two turns of, you know, either activated trigger or triggered abilities or, tempo or, you know, some kind of removal and just get there.
Yeah. So. I think Jeskai is going to be very much a tempo deck.
And yeah. I mean, it's red, white, you know, and like so basically it should be like Boros with a little bit of extra blue pizzazz, which is cool. It is.
Yeah.
Sweet. Ryan, go ahead, man.
Butcher of the Horde. So this is.
Oh yeah, because this is fair.
I'm excited because I was asking the other week, where's the sack outlets at?
Wow, this guy is an outlet, bro.
Yeah. So Jesus, he's colorless, and then Mardu. Which is weird because he's a demon. He's a demon with white and the casting cost.
That's yeah, but he's a black red dude, you know. He's just like his father was like a half.
Yeah, he has two sets of wings, which is dope.
He's like Goro's grandpa, man.
Yeah, pretty. Butcher of the Horde, 5/4. He's a flyer, 5/4 flying. He says, sacrifice another creature. Butcher of the Horde gains your choice of vigilance, lifelink, or haste until end of turn.
Wow.
Yeah, I would love to play this alongside, like, Goblin Rabble Master.
Well, that's like everyone's dream. Turn 3 Rabble Master, turn 4 Butcher, turn 5 Storm Breath. I think I win.
He's very good. he does everything you want him to do. He even is vigilant.
Yeah,
he's so good.
I was leaning heavily towards playing Junk in the next standard. That's what I've been looking forward to playing. The Ascendancy kind of got me excited. Yeah, but this I saw this card today, and I'm probably definitely playing Mardu. I like this card.
Mardu Charm is very good. The Mardu crazy removal spell is awesome.
Yeah, I like Butcher the Horde a lot.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, he's. I don't know. It just seems like the deck's basically built already around it, and that's scary.
Ooh, we got Mana Rocks.
Yeah, they took the best of what they did in Ravnica block, and then put them on the really boring
way better
obelisks
than
of
obelisks were really good in their format though. Like,
you
needed them.
No, you didn't. No, you well,
I don't know. I used a lot of them in Limited.
Yeah, I mean, like if you were a Naya deck, you'd probably wanted them. But for like, I played a lot of Grixis and Esper, and you really didn't want them a lot.
Well, it was more along the lines of the drafting.
Yeah,
that I was like, I want these.
These guys are way better than obelisks. So they are cards.
We got the final con yet? Oh no.
I'm excited for it too, cause like I really hoped that Tamir is a deck, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really do too. It's kind of, it seems like it could be fun for a lot of people. A lot of people on the page, if you haven't noticed, seem pretty excited about a lot of the teamer cards, so.
That's kind of who, you know, we got a lot of isn't mages in the house.
Yeah, so we'll see what they come up with. Seems fun. Seems to be the way to go if you're looking, you know, to...
If you're just looking to have fun, I think that's probably going to be the way to go. That or maybe the I don't know, it depends on what your fun is, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different fun available in this set.
Okay, well my last one, I'm going to go Ashcloud Phoenix. It's a 4/1 for 4, flying. When he dies, you return it to the battlefield face down, and then you can morph it for 4 and 2 red, and when Ashcloud Phoenix is turned face up, it deals 2 damage to each player.
It's the most aggressively costed Phoenix.
I wish it had haste. What is the other Phoenix that just came out in M15?
Didn't just come out, but Chandra's Phoenix is in there.
No, not...
Yeah, Chandra was in M14. It's not 14.
Yeah. There's another one. It's got the...
I don't know.
Oh, fuck. It's got that mechanic when it enters the battlefield, your opponent...
Oh, Bloodthirst?
No. It's got the ability where your opponent chooses Triumph or Tribute or whatever.
That's not from M15,
no.
Though.
Yeah,
that's not from M15.
That's not from M15. No, that's
M15. I'm sorry, but
that would be from Ravnica and Locke.
Anyway,
that is old.
So this is a mythic. Are you thinking about it as a constructed card or limited?
No,
card?
I'm just like looking at it. I think it's cool.
I don't think it's good.
I just think it's cool.
Now my question is, do you get to choose where it goes face down on the battlefield?
You have to put it in the order.
Okay.
That the morph creature enters, like, that's the rules with morph.
Is there now, like, a clear delineation for how morph, like,
well, it was
left or right or whatever?
Well, it's been that way, but yeah, it's left or right, and you have to put them down in the order that they come into play.
Heard.
So, yeah, there's that. Guys, I know it's very early, and we haven't seen the whole thing, but just with each one of you, I want your general impression of the set so far.
I want someone else to go first.
Will, you go first.
Okay, I'll go first then. Since Will wants somebody else to go first.
First, if Ryan wants me to, it's fine.
Oh, no. Oh, by the way, the Phoenix I was thinking of, I just found it, was from Born of the Gods, Flame Phoenix, the 4-mana, the 2-colorless, 2 mountains.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago, right?
It'll still be in the set going forward. It'll still be in standard going forward, and I think it's better than the 4 one.
Okay. So anyway, my impression of the set is, it seems a little too powerful following Theros. I don't feel a lot of Theros cards are going to see a lot of play. Short of, you know, like Sylvan Caryatid, you know, random things here and there. There's going to be a lot of creature plays, so like Purphoros will see probably some play finally.
I think a lot of gods, actually, especially the Journey gods, are going to see some love.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it seems a lot more... I don't even know how to put it. Like,
I can see Farika and Athreos and Irois and Mardu seeing play.
Okay. I don't think, I'm not 100% sure that I like this set, to be real honest. I don't think it's a bad set by any stretch of the imagination. I think as far as limited goes, yet to be seen, because, you know, all we've seen for the most part is rare and mythics.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of hard to really say as far as that goes.
Yeah, we know very little about the set in general. Like, if you take away all of the lands that have been spoiled, we know like 60, 80 cards, something like that, you know?
Yeah. So, but the lands are pretty important. The one thing I will say about this is, holy crap, is it a money grab? You can make some money off of this set.
Absolutely, you can. Absolutely, there's a lot of very powerful mythics, and there's fetch lands, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can make money off this set.
It's good. It's going to be a lot of good for, like, the first 3 months of limited of this set is going to be, it's going to be awesome.
I hope the fetch land prices just drop and drop and drop.
Yeah, online they're going to go to the crazy cheap.
They already are online from what I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of like, I think this is more like the set you buy for money than it is,
yeah.
You know, and if you play EDH, holy shit, you love this set. Like,
yeah,
there's no question about that.
There's so much generals and all this, just there's, I mean, it's an EDH set, you're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Ryan, what do you think of the set thus far?
I mean, I'd get ready for Battlecruiser Magic. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair opinion. I mean, there's going to be a lot of...
We'll see. We have only seen, again, like Angela said, we've seen a lot of mythic and rare cards.
And to be fair, because I get a lot of shit, like, people think I want every fucking counterspell from Legacy in the fucking format. Like, get real. Like, I want things balanced. I want blue to have its identity at this point. It's
right,
like,
but does blue's identity necessarily have to be the same identity that made people so angry through the years? No, it doesn't.
Deck, I don't want to see a deck that's like fucking 12, 15 counterspells. That's boring.
What if it's a blue deck with no counterspells and 30 creatures?
See, that to me isn't blue's identity.
That's not blue's identity.
Like mono blue devotion right now, to me, does not feel like a blue deck. It feels like
Did you ever play Murph? Folk, because that has 20 creatures in it.
After sideboard, the mono blue devotion deck in a lot of matches can feel very, very much like blue, in a lot of ways, depending on how you board. So it does have that going for it post board, but game one, it's very much like just mono red aggro.
Have you ever played Merfolk?
Yes, I have.
Okay, it's a Merfolk deck.
I don't think it is. Merfolk is backed up by...
Look at all the...
It's more tempo in Merfolk than what the...
The Merfolk decks that have classically survived are the ones that have few, actual counterspell elements aside from free counterspells, i.e.
Force of Will.
Days and Force of Will.
Yeah.
Right? What they do is mana denial primarily and tempo, right? Null Rod and Wasteland, these are classic Merfolk spells.
Those are very controlled spells too, you know?
Well, in a very aggressive situation, because they don't do a whole lot for a control deck, because control decks need stuff like that to function. It's just enough to buy you the couple turns you need to finish them. In a lot of ways, blue is able to do that tricky buying you extra turns through tempo or whatever you need to do to get there.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, like, it does feel to me like blue's identity has been, and you know, this is over
and
years,
they don't know what to do with
has
it.
Been okay. Very skewed. Like, it's not... like, to me, Blue's Identity is, you know, and again, maybe I need to learn, but to me, it's like, it's resource, it, more than anything, more than counters, more than anything, it's, I have more resources than you.
Well, no, that, I would see that to be more of a green thing, and well, I guess green is more resources in play, but.
Yes. More resources in hand.
Well, that's just because you like to draw cards a lot, Angelo.
Well, can I ask a question?
It's not a bad thing.
Most people don't associate blue with creatures when, if creatures are the way forward in Magic, then blue's creatures are going to have to get a whole lot better, and we need to start thinking about them as being a real thing.
Yeah, well, my question is this. With Thoughtseize in the format, how in the world is Counterspell overpowered?
Well, the fact that Thoughtseize is in the format, that's kind of what would make Counterspell.
Okay, here's my answer to you, Ryan, is that when I Thoughtseize something, it doesn't time walk you, right? Whenever I Counterspell it, you have put a whole lot of investment in your strategy into having this spell resolve, plus you paid mana.
But that's part of the game, and nowadays we don't have decks with 16 Counterspells. We're getting Counterspelled once or twice is
we
not...
We have quality Counterspells in the format.
Not the world, yeah.
We've had Syncopate in the format is very fine, and the cancels that we have been given are straight.
Wait, Will, you want to repeat that?
I know that Syncopate is not in the format anymore.
No. I just want you to repeat what you said, because I can remember an argument we had about Syncopate.
No, I get that. It's fine, but like, Negate's still a real card. They give us Gainsay, which is kind of what you want in a soft counter anyway. That's where, you know, it's better against blue decks than most decks. I don't know. I mean, I've countered more spells than either of you guys. I promise you.
I think actually Gainsay is only gaining strength going forward because of the tri-lands.
Absolutely. It's going to, like, a one of main deck Gainsay is going to be a spicy card.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think it's necessarily relegated to the sideboard anymore. Like, if people are going to be playing 3, 4, 5 colors, why not?
I think that this set is, so I'm going to, Ryan, are you done with your thoughts on the set? Do you have anything
else? Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen enough of it for me to really say. So far it just seems like it's going to be very battle cruiserish.
I don't know about battle cruiserish. I think there's going to be a lot of tempo.
I do want to say I am kind of excited. It does seem like from what we've seen so far, like the cards like Icy Blast and some tempo spells, like it seems like there'll be a decent tempo deck, and I'm kind of excited to see that.
And again, you know, again, we'll see if it's Battle Cruiser when the whole thing's out and everything costs 6 mana plus, then we'll say something. But you know,
right. Yeah, even if it is, I feel there's going to be a decent tempo deck to kind of be able to bat any of the other. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what people come up with as far as a tempo show. We got Jerry T back in competitive Magic.
I think that most of the aggressive shells are going to be based heavily on devotion. So what I see from this is that when
devotion loses a lot of stuff,
it loses things, it's going to gain others, and we haven't seen a whole lot of the monocolored cards, and there will be monocolored cards in the set. So you know, the aggressive devotion and the bestow deck, I think these are going to be the really good aggressive ones going forward.
That's why I think the gods from Journey are going to be good. The two-color gods, like I think Farika.
Yeah, but all they do is they're basically going to get 2 mana symbols from any wedge guy who gets played, which is like not unreasonable, but it's not going to be like easy to turn on like they were for the cards.
It's not even Athreos. You don't even really care about turning on. I'm playing an Athreos deck right now. It doesn't really matter about turning them on or not. The ability of Patrium is sweet. And especially with a stack outlet, the Butcher of the Horde in the format, I like
that
stack outlet.
Back to my opinions of the new set. I think that it's going to reward good, consistent mana in the early game, and that once most of the cards are fleshed out, likely there are going to be things that you're going to do to develop early on into what in a lot of ways is going to be creature-based mid-game combat-oriented Magic for all 5 of the different shards, right? They all have creatures that seem like they're going to be able to rumble in different situations, and I think that's good in a lot of ways for blue, because its new identity moving forward in the game of Magic is going to be based more about creatures and how they are going to, you know, feel blue in new metagames. as far as the first couple formats or, you know, tournaments, the very aggressive decks are going to be, I think, based a lot on Theros cards, going forward. And
when you say aggressive, do you think that this is going to, propagate a turn one, very many turn one plays? Or do you think this is going to push the format slower?
I mean, I guess that in the beginning of the format, there's going to be the classic, tug of war that is in every fall format.
Right.
People are going to build the most ridiculously aggressive decks they can and see how that meets up against the big meaty, you know, turn five decks. That
right. Everyone makes. Like the Rabble Red deck is probably going to survive. Right.
Once we see all the
that
cards.
That's a lot. Rabble Red loses a ton.
Well, again, we have to see what all comes in.
Right.
But, the idea is that I think the aggressive decks are going to be more based on Theros mono-colored cards, punishing poor draws, poor mana from the three-colored decks, and, you know, the three-colored decks hopefully get to play huge right. bumps.
There's definitely a mono-black aggro deck already there. We've seen someone posted a picture of one earlier on the page. That shell is basically all Theros.
So, yeah.
Mono-green's really good going forward.
There's going to be all kinds of decks. So I think that really we're going to have, like, you know, 20 or 30 different archetypes through this standard season as the, and it's kind of good in some ways if there are less powerful Theros cards because the whole block is there and done. So we've seen all it can do. So hopefully if it's done correctly, we'll see less Theros cards as the block gets fully fleshed out and all three sets come out. But, you know, I mean, unless, like, I don't see anything yet that is like a crazy, oh my goodness, this is going to warp the standard format, build around me, blah, blah, blah. Maybe this demon thing, but like everything is still just like either just a creature or, you know, just a planeswalker or just a spell. You know, there's not a Sphinx's revelation yet.
Right, right.
Steamoggery.
The one thing I'm looking for is
a card, dude. I'm so excited. Like, people are on Jace's Ingenuity, and I'm like, all right, just wait a minute. Come around to Steamoggery. Just think about it. You make the pile. Like, it's going to be awesome.
Did you see somebody posted?
Yeah, I saw the picture of the 45 Steamoggeries and just drooled. Yeah, it was awesome.
I hope he cashes in on those.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, if it's a $2 card, you know, he's going to make a ton of money, but like, I think it will be. There's like, it's a great way to refill your hand if in the Jeskai aggro deck. And it's a pretty sweet way to, you know, like get cards back in your hand as well. If you're playing some kind of mid range, teamer deck. So
yeah, the one thing I'm really looking forward to seeing, and I haven't really seen it yet, is the hard removal. The good hard removal, you know what I mean? I know it's going to be a rare.
I like Crackling Doom a whole lot.
I do. I like Crackling Doom.
And,
as well.
And the black-white one is also, that's the hard removal to me right there. That's
four mana, I guess. Yeah.
But it's solid. It's planeswalkers. It's enchantments, artifacts. It's anything, dude.
I mean, it's a good slot right behind Hero's Downfall. I mean, I'm not going to argue that.
Man, Hero's Downfall is still in the format too.
Yeah, it is.
Dude, Mardu control is like, you know, planeswalker control is going to be awesome.
Yeah. Well, okay. I guess that's that.
Yeah. I'm excited. You know, this is the kind of Magic I like. I like three color limited formats.
No, you don't. You like five color. Don't lie.
Well, I do, but I really love Jammin' Grixis decks. You know, like just like that was my shard I identified with, and that's kind of what I played, you know, and this one we'll see what shakes out, but I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm just glad to see Sphinx's Rev, Pack Rat, Demon. I'm just glad to see a lot of cards go.
Pack Rat took a whole year to catch on.
It did, but boy, what it did, it just showed up everywhere.
I know, but imagine if it was out, you know, before then and people were just jamming it. It's a good card. It's a sweet one.
So. So let's see. Will, it's been a while since anybody's heard anything to you, so, what have you been up to?
alright, so for those of you who didn't listen to the Pittim's Prison I recorded with you, I lost a lot of my fire to play Magic and kind of lost a little bit of my mind as well. I don't necessarily fit in with society super well, so I do this thing where every couple of years I go run away into the woods for several months. This time I had my beautiful lady friend Liz go with me, and we hiked about 600 to 700 miles in on the Appalachian Trail this summer. So I've come back now to reality to hopefully jam some Magic cards, which I'm going to be doing this upcoming week in Columbus. I'm going to be playing some Sphinx's Revelations of my own. In a 5K this Saturday.
What's in Columbus? A 5K?
Yeah, it's a TCG 5K. So I'm gonna get in the car with some smelly nerds, and we're gonna do that thing. And I'm gonna hopefully have some conquest and glory come my way. But you know, just glad to be back to the show, Imps. I am very glad to have the invite back, Angelo and Ryan. Thank you. So hopefully I will have some kind of quality content to give you guys from here on out.
Yay, Will.
I got it, yay.
Ryan, what the hell have you been up to?
Not shit, really.
You are the most boring fucking person in the world.
Spidey lives in Illinois. What do you expect?
Playing Magic, working, trying to get my spec on before the new standard season. Like I said, got all the souls for really cheap. I do think
Crater's Claw says X damage plus 2. That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Seems lazy, but yeah.
Yeah, just picking up on some stuff, trying to figure out what I want to play going forward, working on this mostly white splashing a little black aggro deck right now. Seems, you know, it's a lot of fun to play, so yeah, that's about it. Just I'm really, really looking forward to rotation. This is the really looking forward to pre-release in a couple weekends, and then maybe if I have a deck for it, the Standard Open in Indy.
Oh, when's that?
September 20th, let's see.
I will see you there.
September 27th and 28th.
I will see you there.
That's after rotation. If I can throw a deck together, maybe I'll jump in the car.
I'll just do whatever it takes necessary to get me a deck daddy. It'll be alright.
The first weekend after rotation. I have all the cards, basically, except for what's...
Well, I will have you know, I am extremely talented when it comes to putting dicks in my mouth, in exchange for Magic cards.
You don't back.
So we can maybe work something out.
Right.
You know, I'm still waiting. I don't know if I'm going to pre-order the fetches or not. I'm probably not. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I just think that mana bases are going to be dependent on them, not when there's no duels to fetch, you know. So you have all of the scry lands and then you play your try land and like a couple of pains if that. Like I think you're going to be struggling to find places to put basic lands in your deck.
Yeah, I've been trying to say that for weeks and everyone argues with me.
Mana is crazy.
Mana confluence, like Jason Alt said a few weeks ago on the cast, get them to how. They are just going up in price. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to play City of Brass, so that's okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying it is a card that just keeps going up in cost, and so.
Cool.
Okay.
Might as well get it. It is on sale right now, so, at SCG, so.
Cool. Thank you. Ryan plugging Star City.
Yeah.
The East Empire, yeah.
If they're on sale at Star City, that means their normal price.
Their normal price.
Yeah. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
So let's see.
Angela, what have you been up to, man?
This weekend I'm going to do a charity event, which please, if anybody is in the Western PA area and not going to Columbus, please come by for this. It's for a little 3-year-old boy who has cancer. It's going to be held over in Beaver. We're definitely going to do a draft or two. I'm going to be doing a little bit of gunslinging. If somebody has a decent standard deck they can lend me, I would appreciate it. If not, you know, I'll have some other decks, probably a commander deck and a couple other things. And, you know, so we'll be there doing things. Please swing by. Donate to this child. I mean, his parents are teachers, so he doesn't have a bunch of money. And I'm trying to – how do I pronounce this? It is – Alvolio Rabodimosocarma. Yeah.
Is that the child's name or what's wrong with him?
That's what's wrong with him. He has an aggressive muscle cancer. It's rare.
Oh, that's children. Yeah.
Sarcoma is a form of cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awful.
So, I mean, like, if you can come help out, it's the doctors are optimistic that with intense chemo, he may beat this, but the man just, yeah, I mean, he's a teacher. He doesn't have a bunch of money, and, you know, most insurances in the U.S., if you live around here, you know this. I mean, you have a limit on how much you can spend in a year. And after that, you get stuck with all the bills.
Wow.
So, I mean, we're going to hold this event here. It's going to be board gaming as well. So you don't have to be a Magic player to do this. You can come down and play Monopoly or play, you know, all the board games you can think of. What the hell's the big one that everybody plays that I don't play board games.
Risk?
No. The,
Settlers of Catan.
Yeah, that's it. Games like that are going to be there. I mean, you want to play just games all day? Come hang out, play games. You know, I'll be there.
You know what's funny? I'm going to a charity event as well this weekend for the food bank.
Are you going to go there to eat the foods?
No, no, no. RLGS, Gaming Goat, shout out to Gaming Goat, is having a charity event just for the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. So.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
So where this is, though, it's in Beaver, Pennsylvania. I don't have the exact address in front of me at the moment, but if you do want to show up.
There's a Facebook page for it,
isn't there? There is. You can get a hold of me, and I can at least give you the address and stuff. I just don't have it in front of me at the moment. Also, I've been pimping hoodies because everyone said, hey, we want hoodies. So I went.
Yeah, I want one of those hoodies so bad. When's the deadline?
We got like another 9 days.
Oh, I'm going to get them. I'm going to buy them.
I'm buying two.
For my body. I'm going to buy one for my top and one for my bottom.
Okay. You can get a pullover and you can get a zip up. So.
No, I'm going to get two zip ups.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Those options are available to you. I put the logo a little bit further down on the back, so I'm hoping the hood doesn't cover it up if you don't walk.
Yeah, that'd be good. Up. That's a good call. I wouldn't have thought of that.
But I haven't actually seen it in front of me done yet, so it's kind of hard to say for sure whether it will or not. I know it shouldn't cover it up as much as it might.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So, I mean, they're nice hoodies, black with white lettering and stuff, and says Pit Imps on the front left breast. The only reason I put the logo on the back is because, well, I had to do the same design for both hoodies. Yeah. And zip ups do not do well with the art on the front.
I've heard that.
So
yeah,
that's kind of the way that's just got to be. I myself am a zip up hoodie guy. Like, I don't like pullovers.
No, I mean, that's what the zipper's for. So yeah, you can take it off and put it on. It's nice.
Yeah, like if I go into a place and it's
warm, you don't muss your hair.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing I hate is when you pull up the hoodie
and your shirt comes up
and your shirt comes up and your big old gut hangs out,
man, just like, dude, that ain't cool.
Yeah, so you know, I do the zip ups just for that reason. You know, it's gonna get hot and you're gonna want to take it off.
Exactly, you're right.
And you know, I mean, not all of us in this world of magic have six packs and care if our big old gut hangs out.
My backpack not in my shirt.
Yeah, really. Aside from that, I've been trying to work. I've kind of lost my mind as well recently, and you know, it's just been, I don't know, I've been distracting myself though, so that's good.
Yeah.
Will, do you have any shout outs, sir?
I have a shout out this week. I would love to give a shout out to my lady friend Liz, who, is a wonderful gal and, hopefully is going to be playing some magic this fall with me and being a testing partner, which is sweet.
Hey, Liz.
I would also like to give a shout out to Mr. Charles Burchett, who sent you a really nice, email about his sister-in-law, doing a 400-mile bike ride, which I think is really cool. You know, he brought us involved in it and said, you know, she thinks that, I don't know, I read it. It was nice. It was very, very good. So thank you very much, Mr. Charles Burchett. That definitely warmed my heart.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that and I was like, you know what? I have to forward this to Will immediately and he's going to love this.
Yeah. I mean,
he was like, yeah, please do. So
I have a lot of respect for anyone who like lives out of a backpack for a while. You know, you do that for a couple days and it really just kind of makes you forget about, you know, everything that's like sucks about your life. I don't know. It's good perspective.
Yeah. So I got a shout out for, Jason Roskam.
One more to
Dan. Oh, sorry.
Dan Beckman, Deck Daddy for the weekend. He's hooking me up on Blue White Sphinx's Rev, so love it.
Are you playing the planar cleansing version?
Yes, I am. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to play the Pro Tour list.
Okay.
Yeah, I might stick a couple ratchet bombs in the sideboard though, because I am a little bit scared of the mono red. And if the mono red shows up, then like also the mono blue shows up to kind of beat it. And in that case,
too.
Yeah, the ratchet bomb's good there too. So.
Yep. Not a bad call.
Okay. My shout outs. I woke up this morning to a new follower on Twitter, Mr. Roskam, and as soon as I followed back, because, you know, if you look like you play magic, I just immediately follow you back, he's, you know, immediately started sending me PM after PM after PM about how he's, you know, a new listener. He's just started really getting into podcasts, and he really enjoys this show. And then he put a big one out there for everybody to see, and I was like, that's cool. And he joined the posse today.
Word.
I mean, like, he's jumped head in. He's, you know, part of the fam now.
Yeah, is this the guy that sent the message on Twitter?
Yeah.
Talking about favorite new show? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was cool. I was glad to, you know, hey, I love having new people.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out. Oh, yeah.
Aside from that, I don't have any more shout outs. That's it. Brian, you got any shout outs?
Yeah, let's, shout out, obligatory shout out to Buttercup because you forgot, you asshole.
Dude, we haven't been doing those in a while. I don't know if you noticed. Man.
Buttercup.
It just kind of disappeared and I was just like, you know what? Fuck it.
So shout out to him. Shout out Adam Keener of the Posse. Just cool dude, been active. Shout out Eddie Gentile of the Posse. Cool motherfucker. Even though I disagree with his choice of football teams, he's a good guy. And, shout out
please, to- Please, your fucking football team, give me a break. Jesus.
It's not even get started on
that. Oh my goodness.
Angelo, you can't talk, you don't watch football anymore.
I watch football, I just don't watch what you people think is football, and that's the NFL.
I watched college football this year for a little bit, I did.
Dude, there was a lot of good college games this past week.
Wow. Yeah. Good. Yeah. There were good NFL games this week, too.
Yeah,
it sucks to be a Big Ten fan right now. So, but, yeah,
what shout out. Penn State got their sanctions lifted.
Yeah, they get to cheat and touch boys and go to bowls.
awesome. Shout out Corey Brown. Just, dude, Corey's a good brother in the posse. He always posted shit, cracking me up with this video. He just posted on the page earlier. I don't know. Cool dude. Shout out to him. Always real active. Shout out Ryan Tice and shout
Fuck
out Frank
guy.
Tavern. Shout out Frank Tavern for once again.
Oh, giant out shout dude. Out Frank Tavern. That dude. That guy's sack is long.
Giant shout out to Frank Tavern's chair. I've gotten so much mail this week and messages from people going, holy shit, all I could hear was his chair. I'm like, I'm sorry, man.
That's awful.
It's crazy. Yeah, shout out also, if I hadn't said it already, Ryan Tice for keeping us posted with all the con shit coming out. And he's actually posting links and pictures of shit instead of just these cryptic messages. Like,
he has got better at actually showing
pictures. He's actually showing it. He says 6'6".
He's a pretty sweet frontline reporter.
Yeah, 6'6 for 5 on 2 bodies is fair. And then he actually posts a picture of the card instead of just saying 6'6 for 5 on 2 bodies.
Yeah, I like 6'8 for 5 in the air. It's so much better.
That's a lot. That's a
best. And shout out, of course, to everyone else in the posse. No doubt.
Okay, contact info. If you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at Gongsu on Twitter and on MTGO. If you wanted to join the clan, one of these days I'll get back on MTGO. It's actually been well over a week since I've been on there. I just,
dude, I gotta join the clan.
I just, at this point, and I don't know. It's hard to explain. I haven't been
just
on there.
Just take a break, dude. Just get yourself some of those drinks with umbrellas in them and kick your feet up for a little while and, you know, you'll get back into it. You'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. I'm not worried about that. I've kind of gotten bored at the moment. And,
yeah, a couple weeks pre-release rolls around, new cards, new limited format. You'll be all right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. Like, I'm actually going to buy cards this time as an investment more than anything. Yeah, I'm just going to go buy boxes of cards. Like, every check, buy a box. I don't even know if I'm going to open them. But, you know, like, if there's four or five fetches in there in 2 years.
I was thinking about really getting some foreign stuff. So if I can spike fetches, like, foreign fetch in 2 years is $50, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. It's just like, you know what? I'm going to get my money back eventually.
Do the Schofield technique. And buy a box of Koreans and it literally like can end up paying for like a case in English.
Yeah, and like Schofield says, never write Korean singles into your toolbar.
Oh wow.
Never put that into your Google search engine.
That's
will so not funny. Get magic singles.
There's a lot of lonely Koreans.
But yeah.
I guess that makes sense. It's really cold in Korea. I wouldn't want to go out on dates with people unless I was sure.
Also, you can, if you have something a little long form, pinhippodcast@gmail.com. Will, how would people get a hold of you? I haven't asked you in a long time. I don't know how to get a hold of you.
So the easiest way to get a hold of me is on Facebook. You can, it's facebook.com/baddinner is the URL for it, or you could just do a search for the Pinhams Posse page and add me that way. On the Magic Onlines, I'm Will Flaccid, that's really about it. I'm on Hearthstone a lot. I'm Bad Dinner and some number. I'll have it for the next episode, but my number is on Hearthstone. So, yep, that's me.
Okay, Ryan, how people get hold of you, bro?
Posse page and Facebook at Bro the Yan, Brother Ryan.
That's Twitter.
Twitter, yeah. And the Facebook page.
Man.
Of course. So the usual spots.
Okay. Next week we have an SCG event in Atlanta. I'll be coming back and telling you people about my great day of charity event gaming. Will's going to be telling you about his great day. Out in Columbus, Ryan will be telling you about a deck that he's brewing for sure. But until next week.
Get out. Oh, fuck. Is this really 3 weeks in a row?
Yeah, it is.
All right. Cards to tap, ass to slap. Fuck! You know what? This Hefeweizen's not helping right now either. Cards to tap, ass to slap. Corey, I fucking hate you. You couldn't give me something smoother to close this out on. Fuck yeah, Scandinavia!
I'm gonna guarantee free boobs next week. Once and only. I promise you that.
Have a good one, guys. Go fuck yourself.